A brief commercial message before you see your video. Creating a so-called Palestinian state would be national suicide for Israel. First, there has never been a Palestinian people. The terms Palestine and Palestinian have no historic validity. Israel is surrounded by 22 hostile Arab Muslim countries with over 640 times the size of land than that of the tiny Jewish state. If the Jews surrender Judea and Samaria, Israel will be only 6 to 9 miles wide. If you agree that Israel must never retreat to such suicidal borders, then join the Jewish Task Force, JTF. You don't have to be Jewish to join. The link to join is below.
Shalom. Welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to elevating the souls of Simcha Bat Rachel Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harav Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Ruven Hoffman, and Robert Mittman, and to a refuah shlema, complete recovery for Sharon Mittman. We have two subjects we want to cover on this week's program. One is the latest statements from the Trump administration about what Donald Trump is planning to do in several days when he travels to the Middle East. He's planning to go to Israel in about a week. And what he's planning to do and what his intentions are there. Of course, his intentions are anti-Israel and are the same anti-Israel policies that we saw from Barack Hussein Obama and from Bill and Hillary Clinton. No change at all. And the second subject that we want to discuss is the incredible corruption and the incredible scandals coming out of the Trump White House. How You can see what America's foreign policy is going to be based upon where Donald Trump and his family have investments. Based on their investments and how they personally will profit, they are distorting American foreign policy and endangering America just so that they can personally profit, which is the worst type of treason and the worst type of corruption you can have. Yes, treason. Treason and corruption. That's what we're getting out of Donald Trump. Let's start off, though, about speaking about what the Trump administration has been saying about their anti-Israel policies. We were assured in the campaign that Donald Trump was not going to be for a so-called Palestinian state, because a so-called Palestinian state is national suicide for Israel. If there's a so-called Palestinian state, Israel loses her biblical homeland, loses Judea and Samaria. Israel would be only 6 to 9 miles wide. That's national suicide for Israel. And of course, there is no Palestinian people, and there is no Palestine. All of this is an invention of Arab propaganda. There never was in history a Palestinian people or a Palestine. All of this is Muslim rewriting of history and Muslim revisionism and Muslim baloney. But Donald Trump was assuring us in the campaign during the fall he was going to be different. And we, of course, in JTF knew that wasn't true because we saw the contradictory statements that he had made, which reflected his true positions, which were quite obvious to us what his true positions were, that they were terrible for Israel. So we warned you that this was all a lie. We warned you that there would be no improvement whatsoever on Middle East policy from a Trump administration. We warned you about that. And we had Jason Greenblatt, the so-called Orthodox Jewish advisor to Donald Trump, that was one of the people that the stupid Trump Jewish supporters pointed to as, oh, he has Orthodox Jews who are advising him. Jason Greenblatt immediately went to the Middle East, if you recall. He met with all the Arab dictators and all the Arab terrorists, and he assured them that Donald Trump was going to push for a so-called Palestinian state and push for Israeli national suicide and pressure Israel. And then he met with Bibi Netanyahu and demanded that Netanyahu freeze all Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, which Netanyahu quickly did. And Donald Trump himself then demanded, when Netanyahu came to Washington, Trump himself demanded from Netanyahu that he freeze all Jewish building and did so even at the press conference, at the joint press conference they held, which is unprecedented type of brutal pressure. And all the Trump Jewish supporters, it didn't even affect them. He's doing the same exact anti-Israel, anti-Semitic policies that we got from Obama and Clinton. And the Trump Jewish supporters are acting like there's some sort of improvement here. What is better about Trump's policies? We, you know, just in the past 2 weeks, do you know how many times committees have met where requests were made for new Jewish building to try to get permits for new Jewish building and were rejected. Netanyahu saying, I have to reject it because Trump is demanding that I reject it. You know how many times that has happened just in the past couple of weeks? They are drying up and severely harming Jewish settlement in Judea and Samaria. This is severely harming the cause of the land of Israel. Trump's election has been a disaster for the land of Israel and for the campaign to prevent the creation of a so-called Palestinian state. A disaster. And now his national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, who has a long history, by the way, of being anti-Israel, just as the Secretary of State and Secretary of Defense, they're all anti-Israel. They've always been, they're all Jew haters, all anti-Israel. And his national security advisor, H.R. McMaster, one of the anti-Israel Jew haters that run his administration, has now said that Trump is going to demand so-called Palestinian self-determination, which means a Palestinian state. He's going to demand Palestinian self-determination during his trip to Israel. That's what he's, and his trip to the Middle East. That's what he's going to be pushing. Now, tell me where this is different or in any way better than Obama and Clinton. All you self-hating Jews that continue to support Trump, and you are self-hating Jews, and you're traitors to the Jewish people if you continue to support him after knowing this. If you know this and you continue to support him, you're traitors. Tell me where this is better than Obama or Clinton. Tell me where it's better. Now, Obama and Clinton were also very anti-Israel, very, very bad. But tell me where Trump is in any way better, on the issue of Israel, on the issue of Jewish survival. He's doing the same destructive, dangerous policies to push for Israeli suicide that endanger the survival of millions of Jews in Israel. He's doing the same things that Obama and Clinton did. And he may be more effective in doing them because he has people on the so-called right who are really a bunch of jerks. You know, they call themselves, people who claim to be right-wing, like the Likud supporters, or just a bunch of imbeciles. He has these imbeciles thinking, oh, everything is fine now, so we don't have to worry, we don't have to resist the pressure, we don't have to do anything. In fact, he may legitimize suicidal concessions now. He may make suicidal concessions seem not that bad. And I've seen Jews, stupid, self-hating Jews, who claimed to be right-wing, who before would have been outraged if Obama or Clinton had said or done the things that Trump is saying or doing now, justifying and making excuses for what Trump is doing to Israel. So in that respect, he's worse than Obama and worse than Clinton on the issue of Israel. Worse. At least with Obama and Clinton, we had resistance because the right-wing Jews knew that they were the enemy. At least they knew they were the enemy. With Trump, we have these sick, self-hating Jewish pieces of garbage going around making excuses for what Trump is doing. So we've got this situation now where Trump is going to go to the Middle East. If Obama had gone to the Middle East to push for a so-called Palestinian state, if Clinton had gone to pressure for a so-called Palestinian state and to renew negotiations, what is negotiations and diplomacy and pushing for peace? What does that mean? That means suicide. If Obama or Clinton were doing it, you'd have demonstrations, you'd have protests, you'd have people up in arms. Because Trump is doing it, you don't see it. You don't see that in Israel. And in that respect, yes, he's worse than Clinton, worse than Obama on Israel right now. So far, he's worse. And by the way, again, on Iran, which is also an issue where Israel's survival is in grave danger because of Iran, and by the way, the danger of Iran using nuclear weapons, sharing them with Muslim terrorists, and perpetrating a nuclear holocaust against American targets, the danger to the United States from a nuclear Iran is also very, very severe. You see Trump renewing the Iran agreement, Obama's Iran agreement, which he said was the worst agreement ever agreed to, and he renewed it. And he said, yes, Iran is the biggest world sponsor of terrorism, which is true. Iran is the number one sponsor of international terrorism today. And yet he renewed the agreement with the number one sponsor of international terrorism today, whom he said Iran is violating the agreement. He said Iran is sponsoring terrorism. He said Iran, you know, that Iran has a day in on their calendar, a huge holiday in Iran. It's called Death to America Day. Death to America Day. And now American companies and multinational corporations from the United States and Europe are going and investing and building up Iran's economy and boosting them so that they could build their nuclear bombs even faster. Do you remember that we warned you that on the issue of Iran, Trump would be a disaster? You remember we warned you that he and Jeb Bush were the only two Republican candidates. There were 17 Republican candidates running for the Republican nomination. 15 out of the 17 said that they would rip up the Iran Obama disastrous nuclear agreement. 15 out of the 17 said they would rip the agreement up. Trump and Jeb Bush were the only two who said they wouldn't rip it up. Do you remember how we warned you that Trump would be just as bad on Iran as Obama and Hillary Clinton? You remember that? Look how it's coming true. Basically, everything we warned about has come true with Trump. Everything we told you was going to happen has come true. And all the predictions of all the self-hating Jews and of all the Jewish wimps and Jewish zeros out there, including those who call themselves right-wing, including some who even call themselves Kahanists, all their predictions about how things were going to be so much better now, how Trump has his daughter converted to Judaism, which was a phony conversion, and how his son-in-law is Jewish. What are you talking about? His son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew. Yeah, son-in-law is an Orthodox Jew who does business with George Soros, who is George Soros' business partner. That's his son. And who brings Henry Kissinger to the White House to advise Trump on Israel. Kissinger, the worst enemy of Israel. The person who was responsible for the murder of 3,000 Israeli soldiers in the Yom Kippur War. And Israel was nearly destroyed because of Kissinger in that war. He has a Jewish brother, he has a Jewish son-in-law. We don't want presidents with Jewish son-in-laws. We don't want presidents with Jewish advisors, with Jason Greenblatt and David Friedman and Jewish advisors. We don't want that. Okay? We want a law to be passed where Jews are not allowed to advise the president or be part of his administration. We'd like to actually see that law passed. That would be great. Because Jews in those positions always wind up screwing their own people and stabbing Israel in the back. Anyway, we warned you all of this was going to happen. And we were right. JTF was right. JTF was right from the start. And all the other people, all the other groups, and all the other people that told you the opposite were wrong. The second issue that we want to discuss. You know, of course, we have the James Comey firing and all the scandal and how badly Donald Trump handled it. I have to mention this before I get to the main part of the second issue that I want to discuss, which is the Trump administration's corrupt dealings with countries like China and Turkey and Russia. But before we get to that, I just have to mention that Trump said the reason he decided to fire James Comey, the FBI director, and I don't like James Comey and I don't like the FBI, I don't like the federal government. Okay, I really believe, I'm a true conservative, I really believe the federal government has too much power and intrudes upon the rights of Americans. And I am against institutions like the FBI that have robot agents that go out and it's completely politicized and it's a horrific organization, the FBI. And the federal government in general has become an oppressor of the American people. That's just a fact. I mean, they don't do what they're supposed to be doing in a constitutional republic. But anyway, putting that aside, of course, Trump fired James Comey because James Comey was investigating him on Russia and because Trump is panicking because he knows that what he did on Russia was blatantly illegal and even treasonous. Trump's behavior on Russia and the behavior of his administration, they're traitors. They're traitors to the United States. They've committed treason. They are betraying American national security and American national interests for their own personal profit. That's treason. That's treason. That's just as bad as being a spy. If you were a spy for the KGB during the Cold War, that's the same thing. This is even worse. This is in using the office of the presidency and the administration to further the interests of foreign powers in order to advance your own career. It doesn't get any worse than that. Now, when he fired James Comey, what did Donald Trump say? One of the things Donald Trump, and he gave so many different reasons, you know, he changed his reasons for firing James Comey already 10 times, which is what he does on every issue. He switches his position from one end to the other 10 times, sometimes 10 times a day. You get 10 different positions from Donald Trump sometimes in one day, in the course of one day. He'll tweet out different things that are the opposite positions sometimes within an hour. He'll tweet out completely different opposing positions. Anyway, he said the reason he fired James Comey is because Comey is a showboater and a grandstander. That Comey likes to go in front of the media and showboat and grandstand. He wants to show off and grandstand in front of the media. Donald Trump is accusing someone of being a showboater and a grandstander? Donald Trump? I mean, where have you ever gotten someone who's a worse showboater or grandstander than Donald Trump? I mean, the hypocrisy is just, it's just so laughable. It's just, it's, if it wasn't so pathetic, it would really be hilarious. Now, when Donald Trump was running for president, he promised us he was going to be the toughest president ever on China. On day one, he said, on day one, he wasn't going to rip up the Iran agreement. That he didn't do. He's giving Iran everything that they wanted. But China, he said, they're a currency manipulator. He was going to declare them a currency manipulator on day one and take action against them on day one. Of course, now he says they're not a currency manipulator. Now he's backed off of all of his campaign promises. He's giving China the most favorable concessions and the most favorable policies they've ever had. Communist China never enjoyed such favorable policies and such a favorable atmosphere from any president. Why? Because Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law, has business in China. And guess what Jared Kushner is doing? Jared Kushner is selling immigration visas for $500,000 each. He's selling immigration visas to wealthy Chinese who want to come here and want to come on an immigration visa. You want to buy a visa? You want to get into the United States and get through the visa process quickly? No problem. You can go to the son-in-law of the president and buy your way to the head of the line and get your visa. I mean, how do you get more corrupt than that? This is the most corrupt thing you could ever possibly have, and he's doing it openly in China. He's going to Beijing, and he's openly making these proposals at meetings with wealthy Chinese. And he's not being prosecuted for it? How can he be prosecuted? The attorney general, who would have to prosecute him, is Jeff Sessions, who, of course, will do anything Trump tells him to. He's a puppet of Trump. He's also saying that if Chinese invest in Kushner's properties, they'll get all types of benefits from the federal government and from the new administration if they invest in Kushner's properties. And surely enough, Trump has now adjusted his visa policies and his visa proposals to make sure that they're beneficial to the Kushner companies. Kushner, by the way, and his family are also billionaires. They happen to be real billionaires, unlike Trump. I don't think Trump is a billionaire because he's so deep in debt. But Kushner and his family, they wanted these visa adjustments because they have a lot of investments in communist China. And so the visa program has been adjusted to make sure it is the most favorable program possible for the Kushner family investments. By the way, breaking every promise Trump made on the campaign trail that he was going to crack down on China, that he was going to really defend American workers. And he said the Chinese had raped America's economy. Remember, he was going around making speeches saying China had raped America's economy? And look what he's doing now. He has the most pro-China policy of any president since the communists took over China in 1949. They've never had a president this pro-China. Why? Because he and his family, Ivanka and Jared and his family, are involved up to their neck with China and trying to make money personally and using the presidency personally. Now, when you have somebody who will hurt America's interests and hurt American workers and hurt the American economy and hurt American technology and hurt American national security, because he's also hurting American national security, he's doing nothing about China building artificial islands in the South China Sea, something which he promised he would crack down on. He attacked Obama for not being tough enough on it. At least Obama was against it. He's not even against it now. He's not even mentioning it. When you endanger America's security and endanger America's economy and hurt America's economy and hurt America's workers and hurt your country so that you personally can profit, that's called treason. That's called treason. And it's corruption of the worst type, and that is what Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump and Donald Trump are all doing when it comes to China. That's what they clearly are doing, and that should be just as big a scandal as what we have with Russia. And we see the same thing happening with Muslim Nazi Turkey. Turkey is a Muslim Nazi dictatorship, seething with hatred for the United States, for Israel, for Christians, for Jews. It's vicious, vicious dictatorship with a Muslim fanatic dictator in charge who makes speeches condemning America and condemning the infidels, and the Turkish media vicious and just horrific. By the way, they were aligned with ISIS. Turkey was supporting and defending ISIS until 2 years ago. Then, you know, Muslims always wind up stabbing each other in the back. 2 years ago, that relationship broke up. But until 2 years ago, Turkey was supported ISIS. Turkey was 100% behind ISIS. They support, Turkey is also a sponsor of Islamic terrorism. And Turkey is a nation that has committed genocide against non-Muslims. 2 million Armenian Christians were murdered in the first Holocaust of the 20th century. Before the Holocaust against 6 million Jews, in 1915, there was a Holocaust against 2 million Armenian Christian men, women, and children by Turkey. This murdering, brutal, vicious, hateful country, supporting terrorism, viciously anti-American, opposing everything that America stands for and everything that's good for America, Trump is pro-Turkey. He's defending the dictator of Turkey. He has wonderful phone conversations with him. Why? Guess why? Because Trump Towers is in Istanbul. He has a big complex in Istanbul, and his business is at stake. His business interests are at stake in Istanbul. So again, he's selling out American security and the American economy and American interests and American values. He's selling all of it out because of his own personal business interests. In other words, to enrich himself, to line his pockets, and to enrich himself, and to enrich his immediate family. To do that, he sells out his country, and he sells out the whole Western world, and defends Turkey. By the way, Turkey is the conduit to bring in millions of Muslims into Europe, to flood Europe and take over Europe. Turkey is the country that does this, that is the main conduit for this. Some of them come in through the Mediterranean, that's true. Most of them, though, are coming in through Turkey. And Trump defends them. Trump is defending all of this. Trump defends the Turks and has a great relationship with the Turks, despite the fact that they're viciously anti-American, fanatically anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish. Trump doesn't care. You see, Trump's policy has never been America first. Only you suckers out there thought that this is America first, please. Trump's policy has always been Trump first. Trump only cares about Trump. Trump only cares about his ego and his own personal financial portfolio and that of his immediate family. That's all he cares about. He doesn't care about America. He doesn't care about you at all. Trump's personal financial dealings come first. It's Trump first, not America first. This is so corrupt and so hypocritical and so treasonous and so grotesque. And the fact that tens of millions of Americans blindly, hypnotically follow this guy as he's doing all these things in broad daylight, it's absolutely astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. But once again, we told you so. And whether it's popular or not, or whether it upsets the imbeciles out there that want to blindly believe in what they want to blindly believe, we don't care what you want to blindly believe in. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to tell the truth whether it's popular or not. And the good news continues to be, in Israel, at least we're reaching people. Our advertising campaign and our videos are reaching tens of thousands of Israeli Jews with our message. There are 6 million Jews in Israel, so we'd want to reach more than tens of thousands. But if you recall, there was a time when we were reaching thousands of Israeli Jews. Now we're reaching tens of thousands. So there's an improvement there. There's an improvement. Tens of thousands of Israeli Jews are now being exposed to our message, to our videos. And that's important. And that does put some pressure on Israeli political leaders and on the Israeli political establishment. It's not at all enough. It's not at all sufficient to do what we really want to do and to make the change we really want to change. But we are at least reaching people. We're at least creating a basis, a foundation, with someone out there telling the truth, someone out there exposing the truth, someone out there finally telling Israeli Jews what they should be hearing day and night, what every Israeli Jew should know as just a matter of fact, the things that they should all know, but they don't know because no one tells them and no one informs them and no one has bothered to bring them the truth. In fact, they're told the opposite. They're lied to and brainwashed, and everything is covered up. And so the truth is, finally, at least tens of thousands are getting these facts through us. If you agree that that's important, if you agree that the danger is a tremendous danger for Israel, and that it's so important that a voice of uncompromising truth be heard, a Kahanist voice of uncompromising truth, if you agree with that, then we're the group you should be supporting. The more you support us, the stronger we get, the more people we reach, and the better chance we have to wake people up before it's too late. I know that we say things that are unpopular sometimes. I know that we say things that make people upset. The truth usually is unpopular if you look at history. Very, very rarely is the truth popular. Most of the time, people want to believe what they want to believe and don't want to face the truth. They wind up realizing it's the truth when it's too late. And that probably will happen in our case, that someday all the people seeing our videos and seeing everything else, someday they're going to come back. I'm 60 years old. We have people, young people, watching these videos. Someday they're going to come back and say, you know, that group was telling us the truth. They were right. You'll see. Just like they say now about Rabbi Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzaddik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo. By the way, we have a Rabbi Kahana channel on YouTube. There are 14 videos there already. We're uploading many more. Shlomo is doing it. The quality is not that great because this was done with the old technology many years ago. These were recorded in the 70s and 80s. And so, you know, the technology is not the best that was used then. And so the quality was not the greatest. But on this site, you see the quality improved tremendously. So Shlomo has tremendously improved the video quality, and especially the audio quality. So if you want to go to a site, if you want to go to a channel on YouTube where you can see videos of Rabbi Kahana in the high and the best quality possible, given what we had to work with, given the original tapes that we had to work with, if you want to see that, then, or the original videos that we had to work with, we actually downloaded the videos and are uploading them after they've been worked on by Shlomo. But if you want to see the best quality, Rabbi Kahana's speeches in the best quality anywhere on the internet, our channel is the channel where you go to. And I'm happy that we have a place at least where people can go and see our blessed, beloved rabbi's teachings, because he was a man of the truth. He was a man that never compromised and told the truth. Popular or unpopular, he told the truth. And that's what JTF has always aspired to do as well. So join with us together. Let's hope that instead of tens of thousands, let's hope that we can eventually reach hundreds of thousands of Jews in Israel with the truth, and maybe influence the elections and influence what goes on there. Let's hope that we can bring ourselves to the point where we can do that. We're making progress, but we need to do a lot more. You can help. Every time you help us, we reach more people. You can help. Help us do that. Together, let's work to make this a better world. Let's work to wake people up before it's too late. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.